Your eyes.
This is the beautiful game
described by two ugly gentlemen.
Glory to Columbus!
Who are probably sitting at a soccer bar near you.
McBride's in the box. A hard cross. McBride scores! It's 3-0 United States!
Welcome to Bone and Beam United.
Happy Soccer Podcast Day. What is up? I am Bone.
And I am Beam.
Oh, it's been a week. Been a crazy week. Hectic week. A good week, though. Hot week indeed.
And your air conditioning blew up.
It did. It blew up just like FC Cincinnati's playoff hopes.
Way to tie that in.
Yeah, get ready for that all day. That's what we're doing. We have a pretty big show coming up for you.
Do we? Because, I don't know anything we're talking about.
We're talking about the Crew beating FC Cincinnati.
Okay.
I know that. We're talking about FC Cincinnati people being butthurt about everything, including like the stadium. Your stadium's not that nice. Oh, good. All right. We'll never come back. Please. Glad to have you never show up again. We'll get into all that later. Kind of burying the lead here because we also have Crew star, MLS Cup champion, and quite honestly, the kids are all right. The youth of America is ready to rock and roll for the next generation. Aiden Morris, the next bright hope of American soccer, is coming on the show. I'm excited to talk to him. I've never talked to him. Have you?
No.
All right. Well, good. We'll find out how that goes.
I'm going to ask him about his relationship with Chris Doran, both of them being Hoosiers.
There you go. Look at you with the research. Very good stuff out of you.
Also, I just found out we were having Aiden on like 2 minutes ago, so that's just off the top of my head. It's the only thing I've got.
What if he's not a Hoosier? Now, how are you going to feel there?
Bad.
You're going to feel really bad.
Hey, say anything with confidence and it's believable.
That's right. I believed you. He is native of Fort Lauderdale, for what it's worth, and he attended Indiana.
How about that?
There you go. Look
at my vast knowledge of Crew stuff.
That is great. I'm glad for you. You had that one just ready, just in the chamber, ready to go. The steel chamber, some might say.
By the way, you'd be proud of me. I started a new F1 game on my PlayStation.
Yeah.
I created a driver going through all the whole Grand Prix stuff. Car is black and gold, starting number 96.
Love it. Love it. I need to see a screenshot of that.
I'll screenshot it for you.
Because I want to make that, I want to put it on a t-shirt or something and wear it around because I think that's great. All right. So let's get into this. The Crew, as you may know, have defeated FC Cincinnati 2-0. Once again, a goal by this guy named Cucho Hernandez.
Catch!
This dude, I'm telling you, I don't know what we're going to see for like the next 2 or 3 years out of this guy. I don't know if he's going to become like Stern John levels of ridiculousness compared to the rest of the league, right? Obviously,
he might not be here for 3 years.
Well, at this rate, yeah. I mean, if he's scoring at the level he is right now. But this is a guy who they brought in and clearly has talked quite a bit about how much he wanted to be a focal point of an offense. He wanted to be a part of a city where, you know, they could fight for championships and they could play for something.
We got that here.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely we do. And I think just the energy that he's brought back to the rest of the team.
Oof.
Isn't that just so different watching this team the last few games since he's been in the lineup as opposed to like a couple weeks before that? And maybe I'm wrong. Maybe we can ask Aiden Morris about that when we talk to him. But it just seems like there's a little bit more jump from everybody now that you know there's this hammer at the top of the lineup who can finish everything for you if you can get him in a good spot.
It's night and day. I know that he possesses some unbelievable talent. We've already seen him put that into production on the field. Expectations and the hype for this guy coming over, I think we're through the roof. I didn't envision expectations and hype being more than what they were when the Crew announced that they were signing him. I didn't imagine that to go up in his first 3 appearances in a Crew uniform.
Right. I didn't either.
The play, what you have mentioned, I mean, we've sat here all season long, you know, and gone through spells of banging our heads against a wall, trying to figure out what was going on with this team and how, you know, they lack some creativity and, you know, we're not finishing at the right time and we can't get anything or they're letting up a bad goal. Man, I mean, it's night and day. Like, immediately the supply ball issue fixed.
Yes.
It's just automatically overnight. Okay, good.
Yep, everything's so much better now. And I was someone who was skeptical, right? Of like, I had my issues with Caleb Porter's system. I have my concerns and questions about the way that this offense functions. And those issues may come back, right? I mean, teams are adjusting to what the Crew are doing right now. But I'll tell you who looks like he has benefited as much as anyone from Cucho Hernandez being in the lineup is Lucas Zelrayan. Mm-hmm. He looks like he's
got that
back.
Pep back in his step, huh?
Yeah, he really does. And I love seeing the Crew video. People are doing such a good job with everything. The hype videos, I don't know if you saw that like five minute supercut they did of the whole day where they got some great shots of Cucho Hernandez after he scored his goal, where he then turns up and looks at the FC Cincinnati fans and like blows them a kiss and waves goodbye to them. It's such a baller move from that
one
guy.
One of us.
Oh, yeah.
One of us.
Loved it. Loved every second of that. And you know what? They hated it. And I'm glad.
Of course they did.
I'm glad they hate it. You should hate it. You keep hating on it. That's fine. But Lucas Zelrayan being able to have a guy who's equally as confident as him is got to be – there's a partnership there that you see in those videos. There's a love that it seems like you see in those videos, or at least an excitement to play and have that other guy on the field with him that seems to already have kind of an understanding of what's going on and seems to be looking for the things Lucas is looking for.
I know how important it's been for Lucas, but I mean, let's also talk about how important it is for Cucho to also be linked up with Lucas.
Oh, right.
I mean, it's not just like a kind of a one-way street here. I mean, it's a symbiotic relationship that is working at its finest, at least for the moment. Now, tactically, looking forward here as we get to the better portion of the second half of the season, the playoff push, you're looking at these guys. I'm sure tactics will change around the way that defenses attack both of these players. But for right now, nobody's got the answer for it. I know it's a very, very small sample size, but you're just through the roof of what you're seeing on the field right now.
Yeah, you really are. And I just think everything looks so much quicker from this team.
Yeah.
They are not, even if there is a little bit of, you know, yes, they pass around, they possess. There's times where I do think they almost go too far the other way where suddenly, yeah, it's quick. And then it's like, hey, let's try to just pump the ball in once again to Cucho and see if he can do something with it. And it's like, well, yeah, but you really don't have numbers here. And let's maybe try to, like, don't abandon everything you're doing. And I think they're going to be learning that too, right? That's going to be a give and take that everyone has to kind of figure out. But when you have a guy that's as talented as him, there was one, I'm trying to remember, it was early in the game. I forget who fed him the ball.
Turned and fired it.
Yes, the one that was just right over in their keeper had to make a save, like, right over his head. And it was just one of those plays where I'm like, there's maybe 8 to 10 guys in the league, if that, right now in MLS that are doing that, mm-hmm. that are attempting it. You know what I mean? And that's he's he puts it on frame. He makes the keeper have to actually do something with it, which could mean sometimes the keeper messes up and lets trickle in, or bounces in front of him and someone else pops it in. Mm-hmm. Like, these are the things that I think are now opening up. I think guys like Derek Etienne is going to benefit. Mm-hmm. We've seen Luis Diaz benefit already, and he suddenly kind of showed up again and looked like, all right, this is good. Good to see him back
a little
bit.
This is good for me.
Yeah, it's good for him. It's good for everybody involved there. So, yeah, I mean, it's a truly interesting offense now that I think gives everyone in the league pause. And I think everyone in the league is taking notice that, uh-oh, the Crew don't have just one guy in Lucas Zelrayan that we've got to stop. They've got a two-headed monster up there that has two guys who are like best 11 capable guys. They can be best 11 every single week, mm-hmm. if they play their games. So how many other teams in the league can say that? Obviously, it can't be many because it's called a best 11. And I just said two of them reside in Columbus. So this is going to be an interesting partnership, at least through the rest of this season. And then we'll see, like you said, next season how it goes. And maybe somebody calls in.
I want to live in the moment, though.
Right. I mean, they signed this guy.
I was the one that brought it up, but I want to live.
They signed this guy for 3 years. They paid him a lot of money to come here. And if some team wants to come in and offer the Crew $50 million for him or something crazy.
Jesus.
Okay. Jesus. Right. You know what I'm saying, right? Then, like,
that took my breath away.
What a problem to have. What a problem to have. $50 million to work with to figure out how you're going to replace Cucho Hernandez. That'd be something. Maybe they won't spend
price tag for Ronaldo's 15. Let's go get him. The hell with you, David Beckham, and your FC, Inter Miami.
I was going to say, who do you think this is? Miserable Miami FC, Inter Miami? No, come on. We'll talk about them later in the show because there was just some absolute stupidity over there today.
Hey,
or over this weekend, I should say. But
by the way, Memphis snatched a man's soul.
That was dirty.
That was
dirty.
Pretty bad moment.
It was bad. Biggest game in club history, though. Don't forget that.
So, I know we'll talk about that later.
Stupid.
You mentioned this team and what they're doing right now. The confidence is a hell of a thing in sports, right? I mean, we've seen it so many times. I mean, you can kind of see Lucas's confidence teetering a little bit. Hadn't scored a goal in 13 games. He broke that, of course, against FC Cincinnati. It's working to their advantage, and I think that's putting it lightly right now. I mean, we've seen so many times great players go through unbelievable droughts, and again, you're trying your best to do whatever you can in a game, whether that's basketball or golf or football or soccer, whatever it is. And all you need sometimes is a fresh new player to come in and freshen things up. And I truly believe that the addition of Cucho Hernandez to this team, like, we've gone from 6 weeks ago, 2 months ago, talking to this team about hopefully not being disappointing and going through and losing games on the road and not coming up with points when they need it. And it was the same story as last year. The entire narrative has changed with the confidence that now everybody on this team is playing with.
Right. Yeah. It is truly fun to watch a team not just believe, but know, like, the confidence level. This team knows they can win. They know they're good. They know I think they probably all knew too. We know what's wrong. And so then
the doctor
ordered a solution from England, you know,
cost you $10 million.
Yeah,
the solution.
But you got the prescription now, and so everybody's suddenly feeling better, man. If you've ever had something like that, where you're like, I know something's bugging me, or like you have allergies or whatever it is, and you get the medicine finally, and you start feeling better. The next 2 days after you really start feeling better, you're like taking advantage of everything you can. You're going out, you're enjoying life again. It looks like this team has that. There will come some tough times. We know what they've got coming up against New England. This is a huge game, but now they go in with a lot of confidence, as opposed to if they had just strung out a couple of draws.
By the way, England disappointing this year after coming off the most points in MLS history last year.
Yeah, they are. And so you need to keep the foot on the gas pedal right now. So we'll take a break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about the entire weekend because it was a lot of fun. And then after we do that, we will talk with Aiden Morris. That's all coming up. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village.
What does VA mean to me?
A place for my daughter to call home. Thanks to the VA home loan.
A new lease on life. The best healthcare team I've ever had is here at VA.
And education and the opportunity to open doors I never thought possible with my GI Bill.
The financial support I need to manage the disabilities I develop because of my service.
Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. And I got to say, thanks to everyone who came out to Zaftig and hung out with us. We had such a blast seeing all of you that were able to make it out to that for the pregame little soiree that we had. It was fun. I had a good time out there. Both enjoyed some beers. We were walking around, talking to all the fans. We got Hell Is Real stickers that we passed out. That was cool. What did you think of that event, Beam?
I thought it sucked. No, I'm just
that's
kidding.
Right.
No, it was very good. Obviously, got to meet some fans of the program as well as fans of the crew. There were a couple of people there who were listening to the podcast before Bone, but had never been down to the stadium.
Cool.
I thought that was really neat as well, and have met some diehard crew fans as well. So yeah, big special thanks to everybody that did came out, and then Zaftig Italian Village for putting on a fantastic little Sunday afternoon on a rainy Columbus town. But no, it was great, man. Had a few beers. Me and American Joe were drinking a couple of them, so that was very fun. And if you run into American Joe at Zaftig again, just ask him about his life, and he will tell you.
Yeah. Oh, I'm telling you, man. American Joe's got some stories for you, for sure. I saw Mike Bennett was there. Did he end up going to the game?
He did. He did go to the game.
I thought I saw, if I couldn't remember that, if I got that right or not, I thought I saw him tweeting that he had a blast. And was that his first game?
So it was his first ever. So if you don't know Mike Bennett played for Ohio State from 2011 all the way through the national championship team through 2015.
This is the Neighbor Eric explainer, but I feel like Neighbor Eric would already know Mike Bennett because he's been to your house.
Neighbor Eric does know Mike Bennett.
Right, but he knows him just as, like, cool guy that Brandon knows, not maybe Ohio State football player. That was not maybe on the radar.
Mike and I went over to neighbor Eric's house to watch Cucho's debut against Chicago.
There you go.
So neighbor Eric is fully aware. But for the people who aren't, Mike played for Ohio State, then went off to the NFL. He had never been to a Crew game at all in his life. So his first Crew game that he went to was last Sunday. It was hell is real. And I actually asked him, I said, you know, the next morning I sent him a text and I said, buddy, how'd you like the game? He goes, incredible. This is his text to me. Incredible. I picked a good game to go to. Two goals, didn't get rained on, had great seats.
Okay.
And he could not have loved it more. So Mike and I have been many a places together, and we actually got to watch, and I'm pretty sure this is the only other soccer game that he's been to in his entire life. It was Arsenal and Chelsea at Stamford Bridge.
Oh, well.
And I asked him, I said, how did the atmosphere compare to what you were he'd never been to a Crew game.
Right.
You had been to the top flight English Premier League game.
You've been to two of the biggest clubs in the world playing a rivalry match.
Yes.
And then you went to an MLS game. Right.
Rivalry match between.
Yeah, but still, it's an MLS game compared to a Premier League game, and I'm told that's inferior in all ways.
He said it blew my expectations out of the water. It was an unbelievable
really?
Atmosphere. Yes.
I am biased towards the Crew, MLS. So when I have a bias in life, I try to prepare myself against the bias and then assume, well, I'm probably overly enthusiastic. Maybe I just really love this. I can't expect everyone to love it the way
Mike will
do.
Tell you how it is.
Right. That's what I'm saying. I feel like he doesn't have the vested interest necessarily. He's actually been to a Premier League game, which I have not, and a pretty good one. That's interesting to hear that he said it blew his expectations out of the water. I'm not surprised because of the Nordic and how great they are and how great the fans just in general, man, like around the stadium, the fans have really picked up their game. Like, I don't feel like you have the organized entire stadium chants going quite yet, other than like CREW that they do and some of that stuff, singing Wise Men. That's good. But we'll get there because there's so many people that I sit by whenever I go to a game now that it's like there's 20 people around my section that will be like standing up and joining in chants or yelling something. And I'm like, we're getting there. We give it another 10 years in this stadium and the whole place will just be shaken. But
I'm going to be excited to ask Aiden Morris about that. I mean, how much does that fan atmosphere give them a jolt of energy? Because I think it's pretty apparent that it did last Sunday against Cincy.
Absolutely. We will talk to him later on in the show. Actually, next segment, we will do that. I also have to mention, and a big thanks out to Chris Blaine, a bunch of other people that helped get together the Gates of Hell concert, which was just a blast.
Melt your face off.
Dude, it's now again. You have to like a certain style of music to probably enjoy this the way I did. But I love metal, thrash, hardcore, all the above. Like, I will listen to that stuff all the time. That's my jam. I have been to so many shows like that, but I hadn't been to one in a while. And so our guy, Chris Blaine, who we love here, he's a great designer, big Crew fan, a buddy. His band is called Tactics. One of his bands. He has another band called Richwood. They're both great, both different. But Tactics, they played a show where they headlined. They also had a band called Beggars that came out that had not played in years.
Okay.
That reformed just for this event, which was a lot of fun to see them because I'd never seen them and I wish they had never broken up because they're awesome. And then the opening band, the Dirty Rotten, they were great. Like, kind of like a rockabilly meets punk kind of thing. It was fun. It was like a great atmosphere, great show down at Space Bar.
My guy Cody D said you were the dad of the mosh pit.
Yeah, Cody helped put it on too. Yeah. He did a great job organizing all this. But I was standing off to the side of the mosh pit because I know my limitations. I used to get in there and do that type of thing.
Pit lifeguard?
Yeah, more or less what it is. There's always like a handful of people around the mosh pit that are like, depending on how big the concert is, right? It could be hundreds of people if it's a huge concert. If it was a concert like this, there's probably a dozen people on the outside who are just kind of standing there like ready to be bounced off of. They will catch someone if someone falls. But man, yeah, it was just a blast. The energy was great. I was talking with Chris about it yesterday. He's still just blown away and appreciated all the support for everybody that came out. But yeah, that was fun. And it really added, I thought, to the weekend. I like fan-led events like that. Crew Fest was, I'm sure, probably great too. I didn't get to go to that, but I saw pictures from it. It seemed like that was fun. I know the station was broadcasting from down there. But I like that we have multiple events that weekend now leading into the game. That's good. I hope for more of that. And I hope that Gates of Hell can continue next year and hopefully the crew will get behind it and actually support it somewhat, because I think that was awesome. But it was a blast, man. I had a blast at that thing. You okay over there?
I was going to say, you mean having a band from Cincinnati headline your event?
Oh,
isn't
yeah.
that a good look?
No, just,
I don't know.
Not usually.
Okay. I don't know. People I'm just, like, not I was usually. Putting two and two together.
Well, I had this
because that's how that was formed.
Yeah.
Well, Gates of Hell thing.
Here's what I think would be great. I think next year for Gates of Hell, have Tactics play, you know, because they're a Columbus band. Have that brand of metal playing. And then get a metal thrash band from Cincinnati. And then have like that.
Battle of the bands.
Well, you just have both those bands play. The fans come out and watch those bands. And then you get like a national kind of headliner, bigger act that could also be a part of this. Now, again, I'm not putting out any money to like make this happen. So I get that that's really just me saying what I'm saying.
Who would you want to headline?
You know, there's a great national metal act. I think we should see if they're available. Beartooth.
Okay.
I
think they have ties here to the city.
Might be from Columbus. Mm-hmm. But hey, they're national. They're international, actually. So we just stack the deck in our favor. That's what I say. And then the FC Cincinnati fans can complain about it and whine, which is what they love to do.
Ooh, your music is too loud.
Music's too loud.
Stadium stinks. Guys are mean.
You're the one that got me, the TIFO.
Jeez.
What are we talking about? Did you know the FC Cincinnati people were literally complaining? They're like, TIFO's expensive. I don't know if we can do it every week. They don't even do it every week there.
Hey, but ours was uncreative because we've used R.L. Stein before.
Yeah. Well, maybe if you had an author of note. From Cincinnati.
Maybe maybe they do. I don't know.
From Kentucky. That's really where you... I will drink your bourbon all day, but I will really sip on them tears, man. I love those Cincinnati tears.
God, they were just so filled with salt.
96 proof, though. Oh, it was so good. Yeah. Oh, I love it. All right. When we come back, we're going to talk to a guy who helped cause some of those tears. Aiden Morris joins us from the crew. We will talk to him next. It's Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaptic Italian Village. Brought to you by Zaptic Italian Village. All right, we've got a big guest on the show. We don't get a ton of players on the show, but we're excited to have this one. He is one of the stars for your Columbus Crew. They are taking on New England tonight, 7:30. All the action right here on The Fan. That is Aiden Morris. How you doing, Aiden?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well. Just getting ready for the game. I'm excited to be here.
Awesome, man. Well, let's talk about last weekend before we move on to what's going on this weekend. Big win, big rivalry victory. I saw some of your words that were in the video there before the game where you talked about how it was going to be a little chippier, going to be a little tougher out there. How was it when you were actually in the game? I mean, how physical was this game against FC Cincinnati?
I think it was kind of different than I expected it was going to be. And I talked about, I think it was a lot more tactical than I expected. We had a lot of the ball, which kind of quiets down the game a little bit and slows it down and kind of gives more of a sense of control. But I think when you look at the table, us before the game, I think it was kind of, we were both like 1 point off of each other. So I think that obviously raises a little bit of tension between both sides. So, I mean, it was an awesome match. Nordic was crazy. But yeah,
Aiden, that's what I was going to ask you. Because I mean, the crowd has been so good for home games this year at lower.com, and we know it opened up last year. But when you get into a game like that, I mean, these can be cagey affairs, right? I mean, you have emotions running through your head, what it means for a possible playoff push, and yada yada yada. The list goes on. But when you have the backing of the Nordic and the entire stadium, and you get into an atmosphere like that, it seemed to up your game a whole lot. I mean, going through your mind, how much extra juice does that actually give you with the entire crowd behind you?
It's massive. I mean, players, they kind of know what motivates them without fans. But I think when you have a fan base like that that shows up consistently and always gives it their all and shows their love and their desire and their passion for the organization, I think it's awesome. I think it always kind of gives us a little bit of an extra, like, 15% push that we need. I mean, they were awesome, especially last game. It definitely felt a little bit different with their energy, which was awesome.
So six of the next nine games you guys are at home. You talked about how that energy really helps you guys playing in front of the home crowd. I mean, this has got to be an important stretch. You guys obviously know it's making the playoffs goal number one, clearly, I would assume. But what do you guys talk about, you know, as you're looking at the standings? How much of that can you pay attention to when you're in the midst of the season? Or do you really try to block that out and say, nope, I have one job this weekend, and that is to take care of business in this game. Standings will sort themselves out later.
Yeah, of course. That's all. I mean, I think the last thing you said is spot on. I think it's just always about staying in the present and focusing on game by game, because that's the only thing we can control. We can only control what we do in practice every day, how we lead into the game, how we mentally and physically prepare for them. And at the end of the year, we'll be in a good spot. I know we will. We have a strong team, physically and mentally, always there for each other. But I think it's kind of focus on New England and boom, done, next. It's a long season, so I think it's important to kind of focus on game by game and never get carried away.
Checking in with Aiden Morris with us here. So you talked about, you know, just the mental fortitude, right, and how it's a long season. And unfortunately for you, I mean, it was a super long season, I imagine, last year, going through the injury, the recovery, everything. When you first got on the field, Aiden, I know it was against Vancouver earlier on with the home opener this year. You got back on the field. You got an unbelievable reception, if I recall, against the Whitecaps a little bit earlier on this season. Can you just peel the curtain back for us? I mean, what was that rehab process like for you? And then when you finally came out on the other side, what did you feel like getting back to playing the game that you love?
So the rehab process was, it was a big learning experience for me. Obviously it sucked, but I took a lot of things away from it. I grew a lot in terms of me as a soccer player, but more importantly, me as a person. I can't stress enough how much I appreciate all the help the Columbus crew gave me and the facilities they gave me to work with, and just the hands-on treatment on a daily basis was amazing. And I think it made coming back on that game against Vancouver made it all worth it, and all the hard work and all those double days I did, and it just made it all worth it. And hearing the fans call my name was just, I mean, words can't describe how awesome it was for me to experience that. But I guess the thing I could say is just it made it all that work I did kind of worth it, I guess, in a sense.
Let's talk a little bit about a guy who joins the team. He's just a couple years older than you, but obviously coming over from the English Premier League, Cucho Hernandez. I don't know. I mean, I'm not a soccer player. Seems like he's doing all right so far.
Yeah, not bad.
Pretty good start, obviously. I know you're obviously more connecting in the midfield to what, you know, the guys up front are trying to do. You like to get forward sometimes as well and occasionally uncork one. But it seems like from the outside looking in, like on the field, things are just a little quicker and snappier and there seems to be a little bit more, you know, like pep in the step out there. Is that fair? Is that real? Have you guys felt anything different at training since he came in, or are we just kind of as fans assigning that and saying, wow, it looks better or it looks quicker? In reality, it's just you guys are doing the same thing.
I mean, yeah, obviously players help, of course. I mean, he's been a massive impact for us. I can't stress that enough, but I think we've always kind of had this play and had this kind of speed of play that we're playing right now. I think it goes to confidence. I think the whole group's just really confident and it's kind of showing right now a little bit more than it has before. But I mean, I can't stress enough, like Cucho's, I mean, goals are goals, man. You can't take that away, and that gives confidence to the whole entire group. And it makes our jobs a little bit easier in terms of just, hey, let's just give it to the time players. Let's give it to Gino. Let's give it to Cucho and let's let them make the game. So I think that's kind of our morale right now, how we're going about things.
I saw a picture of Cucho walking in with Pedro Santos, and the picture was great because they're both walking in, you know, into you guys' locker room, and Pedro Santos is dressed like I would expect a guy in his 30s is dressed. He's got like a tucked in button down shirt, very, very stylish, like not at all out of style or anything, but like, you know, very looks like he's headed off to like a business lunch. And then Cucho's walking in with like bright red shirt, matching bright red hat, like the drip was great. Everything was great on the fit for both guys, but I liked how it almost looked like I couldn't tell if Pedro was his accountant or like his dad. Like it just, it was a different vibe from the two guys dressing. Like, do you guys have a little of that where like the younger guys in the group are sometimes looking at the older guys going like, man, where are you? Like LL Bean, what are you wearing? Like, or do you guys give each other, do you bust on each other with that stuff or what do you see as far as that goes?
I mean, only if you're walking in on game days with a really questionable fit. I think that's when it kind of gets announced. But I think for the most part, everyone has their unique style and how they go about it. So I think you can't really rag on that with Pedro. Pedro's got sweet style. Same with Cucho. So.
All right.
I don't know. I didn't really focus on Pedro's outfit. But I don't blame you.
I don't blame you. I will ask the last question on the style because I can't let it go. Because you gave a very politically correct answer there, a very nice answer. Who's the worst dresser on the team?
Oh, my gosh. we got, not going to lie, we got great dressers on the team. I think there's just, I guess, I can't say any names. There's just guys who show, I'll just say this, there's guys that play it safe. That's what I'll say.
Oh, all right, play it safe. So are we talking like sweatpants and sweatshirt and just like really phoning
it
in?
What about a grout fit?
That's not allowed. No okay. Sweatpants are allowed. But I think just always playing it safe with a nice plain button down and just nice dress pants and then just put on some nice dress. I think that's kind of playing it safe. You got to add a little spice to it sometimes.
There you go.
So another Hoosier, Aiden, is Chris Dorn, our play-by-play man here for the crew that works for the radio station. How have you had any interactions with Chris? Because I know that he's a Hoosier, and every time that you take the field, I know it makes him smile.
Yeah, Chris and I remember the first time he interviewed me back in at Indiana Northwest when I was playing away. We've been riding this wave together, I guess, in a sense. I always see him around. I'm like, oh, we go way back. So I haven't really gotten to talking to him much, but I know he's always there for me. I know he's always supporting me. So I appreciate Chris a lot.
Awesome, man. Well, we'll let you go. We appreciate the time today. Last thing I guess we'd ask you is just, you know, what do fans expect this weekend? They come out. I know there's going to be – they're honoring some of the – I saw that they're honoring the 2002 U.S. Open Cup team, which I remember very much. I'm guessing – and again, not to like – name everybody's ages, but I'm guessing you don't remember that well, given you were one, which makes me feel very old. But
no,
but,
I remember that.
Yeah, well, you get to see it, right? So what does it mean, though, when some of the old guys come back and you get to kind of see the history of the club right out there on the field before a game or even in practice if some of those guys show up, like Frankie or Duncan or some of those guys? What does it mean to you when those guys come around the team?
I just think it kind of expresses to us how much – how long this club's been around in terms of the culture that it's built and what we're really fighting for in this long history and the history more that we're trying to build off of and put another star on our jersey. So I think that's kind of gives us a nice little reflection of everything and what it really means to the city and what other great players came through before.
Awesome. Well, we look forward to it. Can't wait to watch you guys the rest of the year. Thanks again for the time today. Aiden Morris, midfielder for the Columbus Crew. We'll talk to you soon.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Coming up next, we'll talk about one of the dumbest teams in Major League Soccer. You are listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. You by Zaftig Italian Village. Our thanks again to Aiden Morris for checking into the program. We appreciate that. Looking forward to watch the crew take on New England. Of course, you can hear all the action on 97.1 The Fan. Big game. They're all big games at this point. Crew got to keep stacking up points, especially at home. You got a lot of home games coming up. Got to get the job done so that that playoff spot is secured early. You can get a top four seed and go from there. So we'll be looking forward to seeing how that one goes this weekend. All right. Let's talk about a dumb team from Major League Soccer. And Beam, I think this is it's the clearest juxtaposition you can find of the two different ways you can have an MLS team.
Okay.
You can have the MLS team that is Atlanta, mm-hmm. that is, I hate to say it, Seattle, mm-hmm. Portland. Mm-hmm. And there are others that fit this vein, but those are the ones that I hate to acknowledge all of them, but they do the thing where they just buy talent that's young.
Like us.
And, well, I'd like to think the crew
are getting there.
I'd like to think the crew are in that mix too, but again, I'm biased. But that's one way to do it, MLS, where you go out and help get talent that is under 25, that's got international capabilities, that could be playing in other bigger leagues, and you get them to come here. And then they play here for a few years, and then either they become part of your organization or they get sold off and they go on and do other things and you get more guys in. Either way, there's that way of doing it where you're trying to build the future of soccer with your team while having some cagey veterans and things like that. Then there's the blatant cash grab stupidity that teams like Inter Miami FC do, where they just look around and go, who's old and bad enough that they'd want to come here because they don't think MLS is anything. And so then they go out and try to sign like older guys that are past their prime to come and play in MLS. And that is, of course, what Inter Miami wants to do. That is why there's all this Lionel Messi talk. Of course, that's only because he wants to go to Miami because he knows David Beckham and because it's Miami.
I'm not blaming Leo for that.
Well, for wanting to live in Miami, fine. For wanting to play for that god-awful organization, that's a different story. But Phil Neville, who is now their manager, former England women's manager, he had some thoughts because they were just getting ready to play FC Barcelona. You know, kind of a big deal.
Ever heard of them?
I've heard of them.
Also in financial trouble.
Well, you know what? Maybe they and Inter Miami will have more in common than we think. Maybe they'll all be in the same boat someday. Who knows? Anyway, Phil Neville said about that, friendly, it's the biggest match in club history.
Jesus.
Can we just stop there for a second and unpack that? Number one, your history is like less than 3 years or 4 years old. And also, what does that say about his opinion of this league? That a league game, any league game, is not considered bigger for the club than playing Barcelona in a meaningless game, right? Like, why do we even watch sports, right? If you're telling me the friendly against a team half-assing it is going to be more important to your future than a game where you actually go and compete for the championship, then I don't think we have the same goals, Phil Neville. I don't think this is a publicity stunt. I think this is an actual soccer league you need to try to compete in.
I, on one hand, agree with you, and I, on one hand, agree with Phil Neville.
Okay. I figured you would say that, being a Manchester United fan. you're allowed to like him. I get that.
Okay.
But go ahead.
So, growing up, right, I mean, watch MLS, don't watch MLS. Watch European soccer, don't watch European soccer, whatever. I think we can all speak to what Barcelona means for the sport, for the game. And that's why we have chronicled their financial troubles and what they're doing with the club right now is absolutely criminal and the predicament that they put themselves in.
Right.
I think when you grow up and whether you're, you know, kicking the ball around your backyard with your friends or you're realizing that I might be pretty good at this and I want to have a professional career, I think one day you dream of putting on that outfit, you dream of putting on that uniform, or you dream of playing for another team, playing in the Champions League against Barcelona, right? So on one hand, I understand what he's saying for. This is our opportunity. It's a friendly, and I'll get to that point in a second. It's our opportunity to go and play and tell you what it takes to be one of the biggest institutions, the biggest club against some of the world's biggest players.
Yeah.
I think he's trying to say that. That was our biggest game we could, because this is the pinnacle of the sport. This is what everybody aspires to be in their history and their heritage and everything surrounding this club. And then on the other hand, you said it's the most important match to your club, which doesn't have a whole lot of history. You're a dreck of an organization already. You're thinking about this old school thought of MLS and signing older players, and you know, you're kind of stuck in the past. Like, it's not a competitive game. So therefore, it has to be ousted as this doesn't count. Was it an important step for your players to go out there and test themselves against some of the best players in the world? Yes, absolutely. Is it the most important moment in club history when you get embarrassed 6-0 with guys who aren't even trying, getting ready for a preseason? That I have the problem with.
Well, that's what I'm saying, too. And then to say that it's the most important match in club history, and then what does he do in this game? He brought his own kid in and Beckham's kid. Mm-hmm. Who they both are, I mean, they're in their organization. They're playing on their, I don't know, they're playing on their second team or they're playing in their, you know, academy. I don't remember. But I think they just signed Beckham's kid like last week, mm-hmm. perhaps just so he could play in this game. But clearly neither of them have played a minute of actual MLS soccer. So this is not even like, oh, man, these guys are killing it at the youth level and we just got to bring them up. You threw them in there just because it's fun, because you're playing dad and you want to see your kid play Barcelona. Great. But that's not serious. Like that, and I'm all for having fun and goofing around. I love to goof around. We do it all the time on this show.
Mm-hmm.
But when people are told, like, yeah, we take soccer seriously. We're trying to make a team. We're trying to make something you can care about.
That's what sets you back.
Yeah, it does. It makes you look. And guess what got reported all over Europe? Phil Neville's new dumb MLS team lost 6-0 and smoked these guys. They weren't even trying. Neville and Beckham's kid played. What a joke, right? That's what got, like, mm-hmm. how would you look at it if the Yankees went to Japan and played a team and then the Japan team was like, oh yeah, the guy who owns our team happens to be a former Major League Baseball player, right, and he let his kid play who isn't even qualified. It's a total joke by Inter Miami, and I hope that they fall into the sea. That's how I'll leave you with that. I'm done with that. No, the club itself. I don't mean the fans. Just the club itself can go to hell as far as I'm concerned. All right, come back. We will also talk about some other teams that beat English soccer teams in their friendlies in MLS, and also talk about a couple of owners of a team that are trying to do things, I think, the right way. We'll do all that next. You're listening to Bone and Beam United, brought to you by Zaftig Italian.
What a moment!
Now back to Bone and Beam United.
Brought to you by Zaftig Italian Village. So we talked about the friendly with Inter Miami, and they got smoked by Barcelona, which was a joke. And the fact that they call it the biggest game in club history, also a joke. But I saw that Everton lost to Minnesota.
Not only lost, got smoked.
Smoked. But you know what? This is where I feel like Major League Soccer teams, the only reason you do these games is to sell tickets.
Yeah.
And it's fun. The Crew haven't had like big international friendlies like this in a while. Once upon a time, the Crew played Everton. I was at that game. I have a scarf from it. It was cool to see. Didn't appreciate it at the time.
That's why neighbor Eric is an Everton fan. That and all of his friends are Liverpool fans, and he wants to stick a knife in their back.
I like that. That's great. But the benefit of it is, yes, your fans get to go see your team play against a team from England. And you will, no doubt, like to Phil Neville's point, you will get fans who are going to come out and say, I'm coming to see Barcelona. Mm-hmm. But hey, we do have a soccer team here. Maybe I should watch them. Maybe when they lose 6-0, that gets lost in the sauce.
Yeah.
But if your team goes out and beats Everton, there are some people who might actually think that's more important than it really is. But still, that's cool to see that happened, I guess. But even then, I don't think around Europe, like I say, if you're trying to build the rep of this league around the world, people aren't going to be like, whoa, Minnesota United took it to Everton. They're going to be like, Everton's in preseason form. Who cares? Mm-hmm. Or they're going to make fun of Everton for being dumb and bad. Right? Like that's not great for your guy, Frank Lampard.
Oh, yeah, my guy.
So mm-hmm. You love him so much.
Happy to see that he's having tons of success.
Yeah. And then I saw Charlotte FC got a win over Chelsea.
And Pulisic scored. Best of both worlds.
Pulisic scored. Yeah. If you're at that game and you're like a Chelsea supporter, but you are an American soccer fan, then you get to see Christian Pulisic play in a Chelsea uniform, score a goal, and then watch your local team win. That's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Not too bad. But I think ultimately those games are fun, and I have no problem going to them. I like going to them. I went to a friendly between Manchester United and Liverpool up in Ann Arbor, of all places. I went up and saw that, and I had a great time. I'm not denying they're fun. Just the idea that an MLS team beating one of those other teams, I saw MLS people like, whoa, what does this mean for the league? Nothing. It shouldn't mean anything because these are preseason matches.
You do it in a FIFA Club World Cup?
Yeah, okay. That's different. Or how about this? You know, you go out and regularly win the CONCACAF Champions League, which I know an MLS team did this year, but go out and do that regularly. And then we'll talk about raising your status among the other world leagues. Like, that's one way you do it, is by building the league up that way. I don't think these friendlies are necessarily the way to do it.
How dare you poo-poo fun?
Well, I said I like fun.
Fun poo-pooer.
Now I'm saying I guess I don't. All right. I saw this from couple guys that I always enjoyed watching anything they make, Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds.
Mm-hmm.
You may be aware they bought the English or the Welsh team, right? I think they're in Wales.
Yep.
Wrexham bought this club. Do we know at what level of soccer Wrexham is?
I was literally just looking at this the other day.
I do not know the answer.
If you had to take a stab, I guess.
Fifth division. I'm going to say they're the fifth league down.
They are in the fifth league, and they will be taking on my Shrimpers.
Oh, they're in that league.
Yes,
okay.
We're in the fifth league. I think it's I don't know what it's called. I think I'm pretty sure it's the conference premiere.
Conference premiere. So are these technically like fully professional, or there's like, okay, so they're still technically fully professional teams.
They're just out of the tiered system.
Yeah. Five, man, there's five levels of full on professional, not like guys who go are like plumbers and then hop on and play soccer. Not like that. These are fully
I might be full crap.
All right. Well, whatever. We'll still.
They're out of the top flight. I know that. They're fair. Out of the top flight.
Yeah. So they bought this team with the goal of turning it around and trying to, you know, obviously build some awareness about this team, make them better. But they released the trailer called Welcome to Wrexham.
Mm-hmm.
And got to tell you, it gave me all the feels.
Well, they're also playing Wiseman.
Well, that must be that's their club song, which I already thought I was like, great. Because then some newbie is going to walk in and be like, oh, the Crew do this because of this Ryan Reynolds thing. It's like, no, technically they don't. Or if they did, I didn't know about it. I don't think they did. I don't think they looked at Wrexham and were like, let's do their thing. I think they just picked a song that made sense because it rhymed with Crew. So there you go. But anyway, yeah, it gave me chills. What did you think of that trailer?
I thought it was as good as a trailer can get about a documentary of a soccer team.
I mean, I'm saying, like, it made me think I want to watch all the season right now.
Oh, God,
like, please
yes.
Put it all out right now.
And so I'm sitting there. It comes out later in August, I think.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I don't have the actual release day on it. Maybe the 22nd, or maybe that's Game of Thrones. I don't know. There's a lot of good TV coming out.
A lot of good TV.
That I'm very excited about. So we saw last year, you know, these guys take over the club. And I think it's been a couple of years now, but – like, frequently you see pictures of them just, like, sitting with the supporters and drinking a beer and cheering on their soccer team. And you and I have joked on this show, like, wouldn't that be great if we could get, you know, pool people together and, like, go buy a team over
right,
there? Like, that would just be so much fun. And I'm anxious to see about it because it doesn't matter what level of professional soccer you're in over there. You know, the ties that you have to your city and the immense amount of pride that comes from watching your team play.
Yeah.
And I think they really caught that. And if you watch the We Are Sunderland documentary that Netflix did, like, you get that. You understand what that means. Now, that's a bigger club with a lot more history than Wrexham is. But I think you just see what that means to the town. And they've been a disaster for a long time. I was reading their Wikipedia page. And the fact that as a sports fan, you have hope of, like, new guys coming in here. Maybe they're finally going to be the ones to turn around the club. And I mean, listen, once this thing premieres, there are going to be so many Wrexham fans, I feel like, across the U.S. Like, their shirt sales are going to go through the roof, I would have to imagine. This is a big time opportunity for them. And just seeing already in that little snippet of a 3-minute trailer that they put out of what this club means to that city and where they're located at and the people. I did. I totally had chills watching this thing.
Well, and I, of course, watched that Sunderland documentary, Sunderland Till I Die, which I really enjoyed. Well, I enjoyed how it was done. I obviously didn't enjoy how it ended, of course, because it didn't end well for my team.
Hey, they moved up this year.
Now they've moved up, and I'm thrilled about that. But what it did accomplish in that is if you've ever wanted to feel connected to a team for some reason, that's a really cool way to do it, is to just watch the people who watch the team. And see what those people feel as they go through a season. And I think that helps you understand why these teams are important. So is it going to do the same thing for, you know, English soccer or soccer in general as, say, Drive to Survive for F1? No, I don't think that. I think it's more likely to give people who have said, I don't really understand why people get so into soccer. Well, if you watch Welcome to Wrexham, or more specifically, if you who like soccer show someone who doesn't and say, hey, check this out. Let me know what you think. I'm guessing it's going to be one of those ones where they'll go, oh, okay, I get why you're into this.
Now. Yeah.
If nothing else, maybe that won't convince them to check it out, but it'll at least get them to realize this is why you get so excited about this. This is why you dedicate your weekends to go into these games, or if you paint TIFO, or you spend all this money on season tickets. It'll help them probably understand that. I think the downside is... not going to be able to watch any of those. Like, people who are like, yeah, I want to Wrexham's my team.
Good luck.
Good luck finding it. I mean, if anybody can find it, Zaftig Italian Village probably
hey! Way to tie it back in.
There you go. By the way, we appreciate everyone who sent us some reviews, left us reviews. We have a couple shirts to give away for the Crew shirt. Check your DMs. If you won, you will get a DM on Twitter from our
Bone
account.
Sliding into the DMs.
At Bone Beam United. That's the Twitter account to follow. So that way you can always find out if we're doing something fun like that. All right, that's it for us. Enjoy the crew soccer. Enjoy all the soccer. We will talk to you next week. You're listening to Bone and Beam United. We'll see you then.